Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. You know what we haven't had around the old electronic cottage for a while? A good quizette. So let's give one a try today. How about a little test of our digital vocabularies? Ready to give it a try? Got your pencil handy? Okay, let's start with some basics. What's a bit? A byte. A kilobyte. A megabyte. A gigabyte. A terabyte. And of course, a petabyte. Knowing how clever listeners to this program are, we figure that you've sussed out that all of these terms are related. And indeed they are. A bit is a binary digit. B from binary, IT from digit. A bit is the smallest piece of electronic information. It's essentially like a regular light switch. It's either on or it's off. And those states are usually represented by the numbers 1 for on or 0 for off. Two possibilities only. The bit is the basis of all that happens in your computer, your DVD player, your MP3 player, your digital television set, and so on. A byte is 8 bits strung together to make a larger unit of information. It takes about a byte of information, for example, to represent a single letter in the English alphabet. A kilobyte is sort of 1,000 bytes. I say sort of because since bits are in base 2, that is, they're represented by either a 1 or a 0, everything built on the bit is base 2 as well. A kilobyte is sort of 1,000 bytes. I say sort of because since bits are base 2, that is, they're represented by either a 1 or a 0, everything that's built on the bit, including bytes, is base 2 as well. So a byte, which is 8 bits, is actually 2 to the third power, or 2 times 2 times 2, which equals 8. That means that there are 8 possible combinations of 1 and 0, if you have a base 2 number that's 8 digits long. A kilobyte is actually 2 to the 10th power, or 2 multiplied by itself 10 times. The result is not actually, strictly speaking, 1,000 bytes, but actually 1,024 bytes. Go ahead and multiply. But for most of our everyday purposes, using the common sense meaning of 1,000 works just fine for kilobyte. As we go up the scale in size, a megabyte is 1,000 kilobytes. In other words, 1,000,000 bytes. A gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes, or 1,000,000,000 bytes. A terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes, or 1,000,000,000,000 bytes, and a petabyte is 1,000 terabytes. You figure it out. None of us is likely to see a petabyte of storage on our desktop machines anytime soon, but it will wow your friends at trendy parties when you nonchalantly drop the term, and even better, when you know what it means. All right, enough of the variations on bits and bytes. Here are a couple of other terms that you may have come across of late. RSS, podcasting. Now, these terms may not be so familiar, but they too are related. RSS stands for, in the words of its inventor, really simple syndication. We don't need to go into the technical details, but essentially, RSS enables people who wish to share information through, for example, weblogs or blogs, we've discussed those before on the program, to simply place their ruminations on the web and wait for others to come by and pick them up. Someone who's interested in collecting information from websites they've discovered and who wants to check periodically for new material at those sites can get some free software, tell which websites the user would like to check and how often, and then let the software go out periodically on the web and collect whatever's new on all those websites and bring it back to the user. No more checking a dozen or 100 websites every day to see if there's anything new. If there is, your RSS reader will simply bring it to you. These software programs are often referred to as aggregators, for obvious reasons, and they've become very popular. With your own software aggregator, you can get information or opinions or whatever from big news sources or from just regular folks tailored to your interests, and read it when it's convenient for you. But what if you prefer to listen rather than to read? These days, that's no problem either. which brings us to our second term, podcasting. Now, you may be familiar with the iPod phenomenon, the small portable music player that Apple Computer introduced a couple of years back. iPods and similar devices made it possible to load gobs of music on a handheld device and take it with you so you could play what you want, where you want, when you want. But iPods and similar devices can play any kind of audio file, no matter what the content, so you're not just limited to music. With the advent of inexpensive and free audio software programs, lots of people have decided that they'll make their audio creations available via an RSS feed so that others can listen to them whenever they want. And the podcasting phenomenon was born. The term, as you probably intuit, is a combination of pod and broadcasting. Not all aggregator programs can handle audio, but many can, such as, you guessed it, iPodder, which is available at www.ipodder.com. And if you're interested in getting more good information on the whole podcasting phenomenon, surf on over to www.transom.org and check out their discussion on the subject. So, who podcasts, if we can use the term that way? Obviously, a lot of people who imagine they have something important to say. And, in fact, it might actually be true for some of them. But quite a few of the podcasters these days are actually professional-level independent audio producers who put up fully produced radio programs that they feel haven't gotten enough exposure on broadcast outlets. And increasingly, because podcasting is becoming such a widespread factor in listening, even some broadcast radio stations themselves are putting up podcasts of some of their more popular programs. That means that you can tell iPodder, or whatever software program you use, to go out and collect some of your favorite programs whenever they become available, or collect commentary from a citizen you've discovered, or whatever, and bring it back to listen to anytime you'd like, while you walk or ride your bike or drive your car, or just sit next to your fire. Podcasting is an interesting technology, but what's even more interesting is what effect it may have on radio as we know it now. And we'll speculate a bit about that on a future edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.